Hey there, it's Nikki Klosser, and I want to let you know about an awesome free giveaway for people on our email list. If you haven't already, click the link in our podcast description or go to theportraitsystem.com/signup to get on the list. If you sign up, you'll get a free Posing 101 PDF to jumpstart things. It's an epic PDF, so you'll definitely want to get this. Also, just by being in our email community, you'll get deals, sales, and information about any of our upcoming events and activities. So head over to theportraitsystem.com/signup and sign up today. You're listening to the Portrait System Podcast.
And I found photography's platform to share. It's a platform to talk about the other things happen around the world. It's other stories, messages. So it's a platform, and it's my responsibility to use it for the right things, not just for myself or just being, you know, recognized as an award-winning photographer.
This is the Portrait System Podcast, a show that helps portrait photographers and people hoping to become one navigate the world of photography, business, money, and so much more. We totally keep it real. We share stories about the incredible ups and the very difficult downs when running a photography business. I'm your host, Nikki Klosser, and the point of this podcast is for you to learn actionable steps that you can take to grow your own business and also to feel inspired and empowered by the stories you hear. Today's guest is Foru Guevari, and her story is one that I'm sure will leave you feeling inspired and empowered. Foru lived through war in Iran and eventually moved to Australia, where she currently lives. Foru creates the type of photographs that truly are works of art, and she creates with such passion and storytelling. Not surprisingly, Foru has won so many awards with her portraits with the Portrait Masters, WPPI, AIPP, and more. But even though she's an absolute master at fine art, she still had to figure out how to value herself, her work, and how to run a business. Foru talks us through her personal story of growing as a photographer, and she does it with such grace. It was truly an honor to be able to talk with her and to share all of this with you. Okay, please enjoy this interview with Foru Guevari. Hi, Foru, how are you?
Hi, Nikki. I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Oh my goodness, just to have you on here is such an honor. I was looking at your website and your Instagram earlier, and I recognize so much of your work, and it just absolutely blows me away.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I'm so excited just to hear all about, all these awards you've had and just about your career and how you, you know, charge for this amazing work. And so we have a lot to talk about.
I know, my background, and it's better to share a bit of my background and talk about where I came from and why I entered to photography competition, why I moved to Australia, and what's the story behind my work. So, my name is Krug, and you pronounce it very well, Nikki. I'm so glad.
Oh, thank you. I try.
I'm a fine art portrait and fashion photographer based in Brisbane, Australia. And I was born in 1978 in a beautiful city named Shiraz in Iran. So I was born in the time of Iran's revolution and both, and I spent 8 years of my childhood in war between Iran and Iraq. Okay. Both revolution and war had such a huge impact in my life and in my artwork. My parents both were students in the university, and both were very young when I was born. So they were pretty young when they had me. So both of them, like my best friends, because we didn't have that much gap, like 19 for my mom and 20 for my dad, like the gap between us. So they both were very, very supportive and encouraging to me to find the path I love, the career I wanted to have, the passion I had, which was art. So Iran, I should talk about Iran a bit. Iran has religious rules and traditional patriarchal beliefs. So it was very, very challenging to grow up as a woman there. where mm-hmm. like inequality between men and women is very, very obvious in the society. And you have to fight all the time for your rights, you know. So I grew mm-hmm. up in that, in such a society, and I learned a lot from it, like to be independent as a woman, keen and determined to follow my dreams, my heart, my passion. I studied painting at Art University in Tehran, and Tehran is the capital city of Iran. And the first time I had the experience of professional photography was in my second semester, when I've been asked from one of our last term photography students to do some modeling for her. I went to her studio and it changed my life. I was like witnessing her creating a series of creative portrait about women, and she was very creative in studio lighting, and I was looking her developing the film in her dark room and just printing, and my heart was like racing, and I was like, wow. And at that time I found, you know, photography, it's such an interesting thing to follow and try to learn about it. I should say for like almost 3 years, I didn't have camera or gear. I used to plan for my shoot, find my mother, who was mostly like family and friends and student in the university. And I used to hire her studio and gear and do the shoot and develop the film in university's dark room. So it was like 3 years of experimenting photography, which I can say mostly by like watching other photographers and trying to recreate the things I was experimenting, I was seeing from other photographers, and add my creativity to it. Mm-hmm. And because it was like something for myself, like my thing, my personal project. So it wasn't like paid job or university assignment. It was mine. So I was like working very freely in it. I was like experimenting natural light, studio light. I was learning about technique. I was doing like double exposure in camera and everything. I was like so free to what I used to create, and I still, I'm in that mm-hmm. time. mm-hmm. So as a student, because I said I was studying painting in Art University, for me, painting that time, still is like such a expensive job, paying all the time for canvas, for paint, for the material you need, brushes. So I couldn't afford to buy camera. The first time I had my own professional camera was like when my dad bought my first camera, was like Nikon FM10. It was like a brand new, and still remember that moment when it was like around 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning. He came back from his business trip and he put the camera in my arm, and I was like screaming and crying. I was so excited. Wow. And my mom was like, what? What you've done? And my dad, he said she will pay back in future like 10 times or even more. I did, but not exactly that time, I should say. But it was like the first time I had professional camera to play with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just want to say real quick that I knew you had a passion and a reason behind some of your work. For example, there's a series you did on Afghan women and the oppression that occurs, you know, with the Taliban, and just oppression that occurs with women in war in general. And I was curious where that was coming from. And to hear that you lived through war for 8 years is, I mean, wow, like that's powerful and intense. And your kind of passion around everything, and even looking at your work now and knowing that you have so much experience within your within what the story you're telling, makes it even that more powerful.
Yeah. Experience in war, it's really hard thing. Even when you are like a child, it's such a terrifying things for children. It caused trauma. And I had my own trauma as well. And, you know, and as I said, I experienced of growing up as a woman in a patriarchal society. It's the society with the inequality is really obvious. So that's the reason I, you know, my source of inspiration is love. Is in my life experience living in Iran. I'm a Middle East woman and I've seen a lot, I've heard a lot. And Afghanistan is our neighbor. Iraq is our neighbor. And we have so much thing like culture, like food, like work experience, so much like the same experience. So that's the reason when I found myself a photographer and an artist, I wanted to create something. I find myself, I had a responsibility, you know, to share these stories, women's stories, war stories, children's stories, and send the messages to the world because I have this platform. So I have a work with, and a name of is Rebirth, and it's, the work is a woman standing, and it covered with a black fabric, which we name it chador or hijab or any other name. And she's turning back to the camera and she has a book in her hand. And I won a grand A1 WPP. I wrote that work. And the work is about women, is about the knowledge they achieve and how they change their own path to the new path. So this image draws on experience of living in such a society. Well, as I said, it's like cultural and religious belief enforce certain pathway, especially on women. There are many, many brave women, not only in the Middle East, I know, but also around the world, who try to break down their limitation, break down the walls despite their limitations. And other women learn from them and follow the new path. For that reason, in that work, you can see there is another woman at the background of the main subject in the left side, which is slightly turned back towards the camera. And it's like a symbol I'm showing by that. It's like she definitely learned the new path and she will join her. And by putting the book in her hand, in the main subject, I'm talking about how education, how knowledge can play as a main role, play as a light to the new path. So that's kind of always my image is like storytelling, and I'm trying to tell this story about them.
Yeah, and the story definitely comes through. I mean, it's so beautifully done, and it's art. I mean, it is definitely just everything you do is so artistic and so it's just everything is so moving, and to hear the stories behind it, it's just incredible. And I'm so glad that you've been recognized with all of these awards. And I just have to share with the audience that before we were starting the recording, I had asked you how many, just speaking for the Portrait Masters, you know, how many golds have you won? And you were like, oh, I don't know. Let me see. And I just had to laugh because I think some people would be like, I have 3 golds. I have 15 silvers. You know, but you were just like, oh, let me check. So and that made me wonder, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like it's more important for you to really kind of get the message out and to communicate, you know, things that are happening in the world that are so important. And like you said, traumatic, as opposed to just winning the awards. Am I right on that?
Yeah, totally. Yes, you're right. For me, I have lots of a story about why I actually entered to photo competition. And for me, just winning, it's good. It's, you know, winning a gold is like, it's awesome, but it's not my main goal. And I found photography's platform to share, its platform to talk about the other things happen around the world, its other stories, messages. So it's a platform, and it's my responsibility to use it for the right things, not just for myself or just being, you know, recognized as an award-winning photographer. It's one thing. It's for me. It's my portfolio in my business. But other hand is just like you have a platform and you have to use it right. And and intern photography for me, it back the time when I moved to Australia, and I wasn't recognized in Australia. I was recognized in Iran. When I finished university, I started to, having my exhibition, solo and group exhibition, and I started to sell in my artworks there, and my prices just came up, and I had like one of my work went to Bonham's auction, and my prices that time was like $400 or $600, and in the auction it beat up and the price went to $2,400, and it was like 2010 or 11. And wow. Around that time I just moved to another country, moved to Australia. And I came to Australia and no one knows me here. Mm-hmm. So that's how I started. For first 2 years, I was working so hard. I had like 4 or 5 group exhibition in Melbourne, Brisbane, at the same time in Tehran, to build up my resume in Australia, to find my gallery to work with. And I wasn't a photographer before I moved to Australia. I used to do photography for my exhibition. I used to like take weddings on my family, my sister, my cousins, but I wasn't looked at it as a paid job. So the first 2 years I wanted, because I came to Australia with the mindset I wanted to be an artist here. I want to just have my gallery selling my work and live by, you know, rely on it. But I had 4 or 5 group exhibitions and I didn't have any expos. No one knows me. None of the gallery wanted to invest on me because I wasn't recognized here. So that was like a big disappointment for me. And I was like, I found myself in the situation like I stand in a hallway and all doors closed. So I remember one day, I was so depressed and I didn't know what should I do. I lost my art. I felt I lost my life. And one day my husband said to me, "Puruk, you are a good photographer. Let me help you to have a photography business. And trust me, it would change the way, you know, it would change your way." And I trusted him and I said, "Yeah, let's do it." I love photography. I always love photograph. Like my passion is portrait. So I said, let's do. So I started building my business as a photographer. But at the same time, I started building my art portfolio in Australia as well. So I was very lucky that I met one of the great wedding photographers, not even in Australia, but also in the world. His name is Marcus Dahl, and he introduced me to other photographers, and I introduced to AIPP, which is Australian Institute of Professional Photography, and then at the same time WPPI, which is Wedding and Portrait Photographers International, I think. And I started to intern their award, their photo competitions. And the first year I entered my work, I got second in WPPI. I got second and first and second place in the online competition. So it's how I found the photography competition is not, it's a platform so I can build my resume in art and being recognized and seen. And also it helped me to be a better photographer. You know, every time I enter, I thought I notice I have some weaknesses and I have some strong points in my photography. I should focus on my weakness in, for example, lighting or retouching. I work on it and I listen to the feedback. And that's how I build up my resume in Australia. And after, I think, 8 years, because the first time I started interning was like 2014, mid-2014. And I won many awards, but for me it was like, this is the way. This is the way I can be a better photographer and I can be recognized.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking like, wow. It, first of all, it has to be incredibly trying on you to move to another country with another culture after everything you experienced and having to restart your business and everything you do. And I love, of course, I could see there would be a point, I can imagine it would be depressing and lonely. But you didn't quit. You pushed forward. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, people at WPPI and AIPP were probably like, oh, wow, like you come in and win first and second after no one knew who you were at first. They're probably like, oh my gosh, who's this? Love it. You know, I'm sure everyone was just so blown away by you and wow. Okay, so you start winning all of these awards and yes, you're being recognized by other photographers and the industry in general, but did you find that that kind of translated into you getting clients? Because I'm trying to think like, okay, for people out there who are listening, who are really into more of fine art photography and just portraits in general, how do you kind of make a living and support yourself doing it, I guess?
So as I said, I started my business as a photography, my photography business in 2013. Like any newbie, I tried everything, like family, engagement, even photography, wedding, and then maternity and newborn. And I started with the voucher. Very, very quickly, I changed it to like mini session, and my price that time was like $550, include session fee and 5 small prints. But it's really, really hard. I should say the first 4-5 years, I had lots of challenging and struggling about my pricing, because I wasn't happy with my pricing at mini session or giving voucher, and I had no idea how business works here in Australia, what's their role, mm-hmm. how you find your clients, how you find your clients, and what's your pricing, and where is your marketing, what you should do to, you know, what you should do in social media, how you should advertise. So I had no idea when I first started. Every single step I took is like lots of learning and searching and asking questions around. And but it was like around 2016 when I heard about Sue Bryce Education. I registered on her website, and for the first time I found answer for many of my questions through the posing, self-value, how you can paint your backdrop, about marketing, about social media, pricing, and all those valuable information that I was looking around for a long time. And it how my business is just went to the next level. I really like that real wall, that part. I found that it's like very straightforward and a strong mm-hmm. method to sell. And my price, my sales, it just rise very quickly. I really, really comfortable with, I still have real wall. And the reason I was comfortable because we had something similar in our university. At the end of the semester, every semester, we had to provide like between 15 to 20 of our works presented on the wall. And it was a very emotional, proud moment when you stand in front of your work and see them hang on the wall and just all the students coming and giving you feedback. And at the end, you get like average between 3 to 5 of your university teacher's score. So I found exactly the same feeling in my real world when I presented for my client, that proud moment, what I captured from them. Mm-hmm. And I saw their emotion. Sometimes they cried and I saw they say like, wow. And they really asked for digital package after that. They really asked for more photos. And yes, that's how I find so many of my answers. And I found how I can actually talk to my client and what kind of service I should provide for them and how important the service is, how important they have, you know, they have fun moments in the studio, how important you respect them. So it was like different level in my business. And I'm finding my clients through social media. They talk about me. They talk about the experience they have in their photo session. And they always, you know, they take home prints and not digital. So their friends, they come to their places and they see those beautiful prints hung on the wall. And it's how they just talk and about me, and I get my new clients through the word of mouth, if I say it correctly. Yes, that's how I build up my business in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so much to talk about here. So from what I look, when I see your work, it doesn't seem like you're creating a high volume of portraits for your clients. To me, I'm just really interested in how your business works in general. Like, are people commissioning you for one portrait? Are you showing them? I know you said you do the reveal wall. And just real quickly for those listening, if you don't know necessarily what a reveal wall is, it's something that Sue presented to her education group years ago, like what, 2012 or something like that, 2013 maybe. Maybe even before then. But putting prints up on a wall. It doesn't even have to be on a wall, but to print your work and to show your clients their photos that you're presenting for them to purchase in a tangible way. And so it sounds like you really kind of took that and ran with it. And I'm just so curious on how you do this. Because I can't imagine you do high volume.
Yeah. Nikki, I have like two types of clients. One day, I'm calling that they commission me to create a fun art portrait for them. Okay, and I have the clients, it's just like they are looking for having like family or couple or just individual portrait of them. And I have a website for it. It's my business name actually is Forever Yours Photography. And in my website, I have in the homepage, I have 3 columns that provide the information. So they have like contemporary portrait, fine art, which is my more personal project, and the fashion part, which is just recently I added to my business. So when the client going to my website, they have like a bit of information what they should expect. So if they want me to have like contemporary portrait, and they have like hair and makeup in their packages, in their session fee, and we have like a consultation session before the photo shoot. So in the consultation session, we are talking about like the hair and makeup they're looking for, the wardrobe they need to bring, and they can use my small wardrobe in the studio. I have a home studio. So we are talking about the all details they need for the portrait session. And after that, they come in here and the hair and makeup done by one of my hair and makeup artists in the studio. We will do the shoot. And after that, we have like viewing sessions, which I provide between 20 to 30 images, fully retouched and printed and mounted. And I print myself. I have a printer, so I love printing and I prepare the print by myself. So that's the time they're coming back to the studio and I prepare a slideshow, which I learned from Sue. It's like behind the scene of hair and makeup and the fun moment they have in the studio. And the 30 images with the music in a large screen I have in the viewing room. They sit and they enjoy the slideshow. And after that, they come into the studio, which the Rebel Ball is.
Okay, so this makes sense because when I looked on the website that is your name, I didn't see anything and I thought, okay, maybe she only does fine art. But now I pulled up your Forever Yours photography.com.au if you're out there looking for it. And now I see, okay, so you do just contemporary portraits, fashion, headshots, maternity, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so this makes sense. Got it. Okay, so with the two different parts to your business, there's the contemporary portraits, and I want to hear about your commission work as well, but do you mind sharing just kind of how your pricing structure for your contemporary portraits and how that works?
Yes, of course. For my contemporary portrait, I have like the session fee, my session fee, which I recently, very recently, I raised it to $320. It includes hair and makeup for two people and the time and my expertise, I'm taking photos of them. So, and the Rebel Ball, when they get back for the viewing session, which I provide the slideshow and the prints for them, my average selling is $2,400. And I have packages like between 6, 10 to 20 in a portfolio box I provide for them. It's very straightforward, simple, and they not confusing with different, you know, products you provide. I don't have much album or like wood print or anything. It's just prints, 12 by 8 inch prints. And I have large wall print as well. If I found my client has potential of purchasing bigger size, I always provide a sample, like one of their prints in a A3 or A2 size frame or mounted. So when they're coming back, they see large size beside of the A4 size as well. So these large size always direct my sell to selling more wall prints beside of my portfolio box as well. And it rise my price to like $5,000 to $6,000.
Wow. I mean, that's a really, really incredible sales average. And like you said, I love that you just keep it simple. You don't offer a million products. You don't confuse clients with what you have. This is what it is. And you get the prints and that's awesome. How often are you doing this type of shoot?
I have clients normally one or two per week. But when I'm just moving to my fine art part, when it's so close to the photo competitions, I just like try to not get myself busy. But normally I have like one client per week. I don't want to be like a stay like that. I don't want to keep myself busy because I'm doing fashion as well. So if I don't have, you know, when I have like one client for the contemporary, I definitely have like one or two clients for fashion and I'm working at the same time for commission one as well. So yeah, that's how I'm working.
Right.
Yeah. Very busy every week.
Yeah. Wow. And it's kind of cool. There's a variety there. That's awesome. So then, okay, tell us about commission then. About how does that work?
The commission part is when the client is, because they have like, when they're going to my website, they can see my art website as well. And the commission part, when the client really interested to have like artwork in their wall. Sometimes they're asking to buy one of my artwork, or sometimes they ask to, can you like create something for me and my kid, like something different, something unique, because specifically for me and my family. That part is commission part for me, and I really love it because I can be even more creative. And I started with lots of consultation session. We talk on the phone. I ask them to come to the studio, visit my studio. We talk about what kind of creative hair and makeup we can have. Do we need to create, make a dress, a specific dress for the shoot, or just like working with a designer? Because I'm working with like 3 or 4 designers in Brisbane, and sometimes I can like loan their dress for a shoot. They never ever charge me. They always ask me to just promote them. Sometimes they actually make a dress for me, and it's really interesting part because they know I'm creating something different. They know this kind of collaboration always bring clients for them as well. So it's a time we have like, I sometimes ask my clients to talk about their stories, all the time we talk about their stories, some memories. I try to know them. I try to involve with their life to find out how can create a story based on their life experience. And then I'm asking about elements could be important for them to add to their story, like old photos in their album, like piece of jewelry, and they just have it like grandparents, mm-hmm. they give it them as a gift, or piece of fabric. Middle East culture, they always have a very unique fabric. It's like a very important, and they like frame it on the wall, or they have it on a couch. It's just very expensive or very historic, very old piece of handmade fabric. You have to Google it, or you find a very beautiful pattern. Sometimes they have. I can use that kind of thing as a background or as an element to add it to their image. So sometimes I ask them to come to studio to just practice before the actual shoot, because they are normal people. They know how to pose and they know how to give me the right expression I'm looking for. Sometimes they are little kids, they don't know me, they could be shy. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, I have like practice session before the shoots. We practice to all those poses and expression, and then we have the actual shoot. And after that, for the actual shoot, before going for that, for the rest, I should mention, in actual shoot, I started with a simple background, simple lighting, and just simple individual portrait. Again, I practice with them. I'm trying to get them to the photography mood to get the right expression at pose from them. And after that, I guide them to the set I create for them and start taking photos of them. And when the shooting part finish, I start editing. And I always tell them, so it's not a very quick editing. It takes a long time. It gives me like 2 months. Mm-hmm. So you will get back to the studio. I printed your individual portrait, and we go through all your photos, and you can just purchase those photos as the fine art wall print as well. So they get back to the studio, they look at, we look through the old photos, and they choose like 3 to 5 images. So they give me the time to play and create between 1 to 3 fine art photos for them. And they get back again to the studio to purchase them. So it's like lots of time and this conversation to create between 1 to 3 pieces for them.
Okay, gotcha. Now, that takes a lot of time. a lot of time, a lot of energy. Is this something where you're talking about price ahead of time with them, or is it something that later on, once they see the work, you're pricing it?
There's a price, a deposit for it. So the station fee is separated, and it depends on how I can be creative. Depends on should I create a dress for them? Depends on the story I'm going to do or the crop I should prepare. And they aware of the average, they have to pay between $3,000 to $6,000 for the creating between 1 to 3 pieces for them. So always I'm getting $3,000 ahead as a deposit. So I have this time and this money to just prepare everything for them, and they pay the rest after they coming back to the studio. And this is not digital side. This I provide just a print for them, and the size of print is between A3 to 40 to 60 inch size print. Could be printed in a paper, which I printed, or I just, if they want canvas, I send it to the lab. And it has I always tell them it's specific prints for you. It has just one edition and it's for you. I can't print it myself. I can't, if I wanted to, enter your work to photo competition, I definitely get your permission, because many times they don't want to share it in social media. They want to have them for themselves. So I give them this privacy for them, and always I ask for permission if I want to share. So that print is just for them. It's not for me, my exhibition or my photo competition.
Right. That makes sense. That makes sense. Do you have clients who are normally no, go ahead and use it? Or do you find that often they want to keep it for themselves?
I enter two or four of them in a photo competition, and I get a very good score and award for them. Just one of them is I created for a mother and daughter. Both were a ballerina, and they get dancer. The girl is a tap dancer, and she's a painter as well. So she wants it. An artwork, it just shows the dance and the painting part. So I created a painter look print for them. It's 60 by 60 inch canvas print on their wall. And I enter it for the competition as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. Wow. It just seems like you really cover the whole spectrum of things that you do. It's really, really cool. Is there something that you prefer to do? Is there something that's your favorite that you would rather do all the time?
Yes. I would prefer to be more creative in my work, even for my client, till just doing the, I can't, I'm getting bored very quick. Even I have just doing my contemporary portrait, always add a creative things on it. I try to be creative in lighting. I try to be creative in just making dress for them, or just start playing with piece of fabric around them. I always want to create something. So yeah, that part, the commission part or working my fine art project is my passion, my love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a feeling you were going to say that. You know, Farooq, if you could give someone advice about creating a gold portrait. And I know that's a loaded question where, how do you really tell someone how to do that? But what would you say to someone if they were like, I want to create a gold portrait? What do I do?
Sorry,
I knew that was going to be a really hard question, because it's... I mean, your art is your art. I'm just curious if there's anything that you would tell people.
Okay. I have my thinking phase at the moment, because I have a lot. Okay. My advice for people want to entering photo competitions and getting higher score, gold or silver with distinction or something like that, is think of a photo competition as a place to learn and grow. First thing, find a spot you are strong, as well as where you need to improve. If you need to improve in lighting techniques, spend time and money invest on it. Just find a photographer you are inspired and invest on them. If they have like workshop, 101 workshop, just take that and improve yourself in that part. If you find your weakness is retouching and editing, spend time. There are heaps of tutorials, even free in on YouTube. You can learn. Spend time improve your technique in every aspect to create a work be in higher standard and be stand in technique, in not all in story as well. So my second advice is like it's like giving yourself time to think about the portrait or the image you are going to create. Think about the story, how you can improve it, how you can visualize it. You know, think about the old steps. Give yourself time. And if you didn't get the score or the result you are looking for, repeat the shoot. Mm-hmm. Ask other photographers how you can improve it. Listen to the feedback. I learn from feedbacks a lot. My work improved by just going to the live competitions, you know, live judging in WPPI. Also, I read every single feedback I received from the judges. It's really important. And just work so hard and have fun. You know, score doesn't important much. Have fun and being better photography is more important. When you reach that, you will get that score you want.
Yeah, I love that advice. I love it. It's solid advice. And I love that you said you're always learning and you're always growing and you're accepting of the feedback. And I'm sure sometimes if you get feedback that you're just not super happy with, it's not always easy.
No,
but. But I mean, once you really just sit with it, I feel like that's just the best way to learn is to get feedback from other peers. It's, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I always happy to get harsh feedback. I'm doing judging now myself. And in the judging process, we learn to be, not giving harsh feedback to the interns. But I personally love to receive harsh feedback because it's how makes me think about what I've done, my weaknesses, sometimes my work is not really strong in terms of a story. Sometimes it's not readable. It's confusing. It's complicated. And I receive this feedback and I'm not getting angry. Oh, why they didn't understand my story? A story is obvious. No. Definitely there was something not readable for the judges, not readable for audience. If the judges can read the story, it means the other people can read the story as well. And I have something to add on it. It's about being inspired of the other artists, but it doesn't mean they copy their work. It means being inspired by other artists, other photographers. Try to recreate, try to understand what kind of lighting setting they have, what kind of retouching method they did, and how they, prepare everything. But add your creativity, add your heart in that work, and take it to the next level so the other artist or photographer can be inspired by your work as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, I really appreciate you just sharing everything, just how you run your business and, you know, the message and power and trauma behind your work. And it's really amazing. And, you're an incredible artist. So I really, really thank you for sharing, being vulnerable with the audience. And, and it just goes to show too, that even some of the most talented photographers like you still have to run a business. And you still have to, deal with the other part of the business, the marketing and the pricing, finding clients and all of that. So, so I appreciate you sharing all of that with us.
Thank you so much. You know, Nikki, business helped me to be a better artist as well. Because when you just work as an artist, you have no idea about the business part. You are not good at marketing. You don't know how you should find your audience, your buyer, your collector. Business helps me to improve this part as well. And it's really, really important as an artist. You know your market. You know how you should find those buyers. And I'm now working with my gallery, my agent. And very first, I was very ashamed to say I'm working as a full-time photographer. I have my own business. I thought they think, oh, she's not very focused on her fine part, you know. She's just distracted by business. She's just like a commercial artist. She's not a true artist, but it was wrong. It proved me it was wrong. They appreciate, mm-hmm. I have my own business. I have my own income. I'm not worried about not selling every month my artwork. So I'm not a hungry artist. I'm not. I have the freedom to just have a big budget when I start a project. I have the freedom to be free to work whatever I want, to create whatever I want. I'm not worry about the market. I'm not worried about, oh, I should create something, you know, so I can sell it easily. No, I'm just create something that I love. So business makes me a better artist as well. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. It really is. I almost forgot. I have four other questions that I have to ask you. I always ask at the end of each episode. And I'm wondering if you will answer those for us. And the first one is, what is something you cannot live without when you're doing a photo shoot?
Like obvious answers of camera. No, I'm not going to say that. Before every shoot, I always give myself some space to check my plan, think about what I'm going to take, how I'm going to connect with my clients, my mothers. I should say, like, I'm going to my creation mode, even for my, like, no daily job, daily photo, like my contemporary portrait. I need my creation mode. I play music even before then my clients come. I turn on my coffee machine. I focus on the shoot. I also plan my lighting, especially if my client has a very pale or very dark skin tone. So I will try to experiment new techniques for each shoot. So I should say my creation mode.
Yeah.
That's how I can go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense for sure. Okay, number two, how do you spend your time when you're not working?
That's a good question because really I have not spare time. But I love just walking on the beach and clear my mind, just like looking through the ocean. So hiking and walking on the beach and doing my yoga, that's what I'm doing when I don't have any time. And spend time with friends.
yeah, that's great. Okay, number three, what's your favorite inspirational quote?
I wrote it somewhere because I'm not really good at memorize things. So there are two
I'm not
quotes.
Either. I had to Google when I was interviewed.
Yes, I'm really bad at too. So I have two quotes from Annie Leibovitz. If I pronounce her last name perfectly, it's so hard. First one is this. When I say I want to photograph someone, what it really means is that I'd like to know them. Anyone I know, I photograph. I really resonate to this quote. And the second one is, I'm more interested in being good than being famous. That's actually my goal to be in future, if I get famous.
I totally believe that about you too. I really do. It's amazing. Yeah, that's funny that you chose that when at the beginning I was like, I feel like you don't care so much about the awards more than, you know, getting your message out there through your art.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. And I know you kind of already covered this already, but is there anything else you would add for what would you tell people who are just getting started?
First, remember that this is a long journey. you might think you should get the result in first year, but it's not going to happen. It might not get the result you want in the first year, second year, or even fifth year. It's a long journey, and you need to be patient and work so hard. That's my first advice. Spend time and money, as I said, on your self-training. Take business, marketing, lighting, posing, whatever classes you need to improve your skills and your confidence. It's really, really important. We didn't talk about confidence because it was my block for a long time in my 20s and 30s. You are investing in building up a business, or you are investing to become an artist. So confidence is really important in those parts. Be inspired by the other artists and photographers, but add your heart, add your creativity on it to not copy, create something the other photographers and artists be inspired by them. And the last one is, which is really important, is be proud of what you do and what you create, and never undervalue yourself. That's my advice.
That's so great. The undervaluing part is so crucial. So I'm glad you threw that in there.
It is.
Well, thank you so much again, Farouk. We really, really, really appreciate having you on. And where can people find you if they're looking for you online? Oh, and your Instagram too. Make sure you share that.
My Instagram. Yes, I have Instagram under the name of Forever Yours Photography and my name, Farouk Yabaria. So I'm more active on Instagram than Facebook. So, and my website, Forever Your Photography, include my fine art website as well, and my fashion.
Wonderful, wonderful. Awesome. Well, thank you again, and I can't wait to see what you'll be entering for the next awards. Are you going to do the next Into the Wild category that we're about to? It closes October 15th, so by the time this is out, it might already be closed, but are you going to enter that?
I know. I really wanted to enter this one, but I'm working on my exhibition at the moment. Not this one, but definitely next one, and not more. Awesome. I don't know how should I create something very in my category, honestly.
Well, I cannot wait to see what's next from you. So,
thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me, Nikki. It's such an honor to talk to you. I'm a big fan of your work, and I always wanted to hear your voice. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. That's quite an honor to hear that. Harry, you say that, so thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to the Portrait System podcast. Your 5-star reviews really help us to continue what we do. So if you like listening, would you mind giving us a review wherever you listen? I also encourage you to head over to SueBriceEducation.com, where you can find all of the education you need to be a successful photographer. There are over 1,000 on-demand educational videos on things like posing, lighting, styling, retouching, shooting, marketing, sales, business, and self-value. There's also the 90-day startup challenge, plus so many downloads showing hundreds of different poses. We have to-do checklists for your business, lighting PDFs, I mean, truly everything to help make you a better photographer and to make you more money. Once again, that's SueBriceEducation.com.